Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Tech Raptor Podcast. I'm Robert Scarpinito, your features editor.
Austin Suther, staff writer.
Will Worrell, staff writer.
Andrew Stretch, software graveyard editor.
Oh, rip. Well, that's where we are today. We're trudging through the software graveyard because for some reason we woke up on this fine morning slash afternoon or whenever you're listening to this and thought, hey, let's talk about Flash games because that's really it. Honestly, we don't need to justify it to you. We're just going to talk about Flash games. If you're here for it, join us.
I mean, Flash games are kind of, I mean, that would have been something that all of us probably spent a way too long on in our formative years that now just doesn't really exist, or at least not to the scale, you know, of the mini clip, the Newgrounds, the albino black sheep.
Well, I mean, Flash doesn't exist anymore, basically. Yeah. They have to convert everything over to like a format that can play on computers now like a way of archiving it.
Right, because this was back in the days when Adobe, before they were the conglomerate that's known for subscription Photoshop services, it was like Adobe Shockwave, right? That was like the name of the software.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, you remember this? Shockwave,
yeah. Yeah, and that's what Flash was built on. And that's, I mean, really, there is a direct line you can draw from those Flash games to like Super Meat Boy, like literally to Super Meat Boy. To like kind of
Alien Hominid thing. As well. Yeah. That was another of the like very first of the.
I would say that was the first one that got like full console ports, right?
Because that was before ID at Xbox.
That all starts with like Newgrounds too, because Dan Paladin, who works for the Behemoth and his team, I forget what his role was at Newgrounds, but you know, he. Like they were pivotal in the Flash game space, and then now they're making games like Castle Crashers, obviously, and all that.
Right.
There are a lot of games that you can see a direct line from Flash game to like actual, you know, big releases that probably a lot of people wouldn't know about.
Yeah, but I think in general, like the point I was going to make is that the indie scene as it exists today. Like with all these roguelikes and things, I think there's a lineage that you can kind of trace back to a bunch of Flash games and kind of get a feel for like, okay, like Dead Cells didn't exist in 2008, you know, when we were in middle school or whatever playing it. But what was really popular I found in Flash games was like that side-scrolling platformer, right? Like that whole vibe was not carried by the mainstream industry at the time. Like after Mega Man died, that's it. We were all into like, Heavenly Sword now, you know, like we're into 3D action games.
I mean, that's true for several genres, right? Like Flash kept, for the longest time, every game company in the world was like, horror games do not sell, we will not make horror games. So the only places you got like horror games were those kind of like screamers or whatever, or the like, you know, old kind of school SCP style. Well, there's a game on Newgrounds back there that I literally can't remember the name of, where it's just like a furry monster running down some stairs or something stupid. Or, well, I literally don't even remember what it's called anymore. But like, those were the only avenue for horror gaming for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
at least mainstream wise.
Yeah, because I mean, there were games like, you know, Resident Evil, but that was around the time when Resident Evil 4 was the big one. And that's like, I mean, it's kind of horror, but.
It's kind of B movie.
Action horror. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, that's the same path that the Resident Evil movies took as well. They started off very horror, and then they kind of started to get horror action, and then they just really jumped the shark all the way into the action.
Mm-hmm.
Surprise! It's the Resident Evil podcast now.
Well, no, Austin, you've written a lot about Flash games for us over the years, because I think when you're one of the big proponents of it, I think, like on our site, you've interviewed.
Well, there's certainly no reason to be against it. So yeah,
I'm anti flashing, actually.
Well, I mean, okay, flashing. that's something else, but yeah. I've written a lot. Like I've interviewed certain developers on it. Obviously, I spent a lot of time playing Flash games as a kid because, you know, like. Games are expensive. As a kid, you can't really afford games, and like maybe you might get one for your birthday or your parents will buy you one if you're lucky. But most of the time you're playing Flash games. And for me, that played a big role of why I'm you know, writing about games today. And honestly, like, probably wouldn't be as passionate about games without them. So I think they're amazing what people were able to do with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that there's something kind of magical about, like, I remember just when you're in school, right? And like, there's computer labs, and then people just start, there's whispers of like, Miniclip, armor game, cool math games.
Cool math.
Cool. Everyone's like, what's this? What's that? And it was before, you know, like teachers could know like to block certain sites, right? So there was just, it kind of went about like an urban myth almost of like finding the coolest sites with the best games on them.
Yeah, I actually remember, like, Cool Math Games was, of course, the king of unblocked game sites, and I don't think it ever got blocked at my school, but I was always trying to find ways to, like, circumnavigate the filters and find, like, new games, and, you know, I'd be the guy that would be like, hey, check out this site or whatever. It was like a Falling Sand game or something where you just, like, I don't know, mix sand together and the physics were really cool.
Are you talking about literally the game called Sand or Dust Bowl, like MT or something, where it's like a physics thing and you get like, yeah, I played that one far too much fun. You know, that one survived to this day. You can play it on your phone.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, cool. Well, there you go.
It's an app now as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like,
physics sandbox, right?
And it's not like the most advanced game.
No, it's not. It's like, it looks like it was literally made in MS Paint in some ways, but.
But that's why it's cool, right?
That's what made it so, like, enticing. Hours.
It's better than wasted. Doing fucking science class in school on the, I don't know.
I'm being taught really bad, like, PC usage.
Yeah. So I'm curious, what are some of y'all's, like, favorites from back in the day? Like, if you say the name, you're going to unlock some core memories for people. Like, what's that in your back pocket?
I think the big go-to that I wouldn't be surprised if anyone wasn't thinking about would be Interactive Buddy.
Oh my god.
Wow. Yeah, that's a core memory. Just like,
just
Yu-Gi-Oh! Player core Interactive Buddy.
Brought the sadists and all of us.
Yeah. This is evil. This is the dirt that we were hiding from the people who want us to believe that video games make kids violent. Just make sure that they don't get a classroom of 12-year-olds with Interactive Buddy throwing grenades at it until the browser would crash.
Yeah. And then you dress it up as George W. Bush because it was the mid-2000s and that's just what Flash games were about.
Oh my god.
Yeah. You know you're a 90s kid when.
Okay. I don't want to take the wind out of your sails stretch about Interactive Buddy, but do you guys remember a game called Bush Shootout? And you're George Bush, and there's like terrorists that are attacking the White House.
There was a follow up as well. There was a follow up with Obama and the Queen.
Dude, I'm so not familiar with any of this right now.
I think it was on Miniclip. At least Bush Shootout was. And like, it's just a simple, I don't even know, it's a shooter, but you just point and click on these terrorists and you just like, you're going through a bunch of different rooms in the White House. I think Condoleezza Rice was in it or something as well. I don't know, man. I was just addicted to it.
That's how they get to teach people the houses of government.
Dude, don't mess with George W. Bush. Let me tell you, he had a freaking M16 in his office. Like,
it gets even weirder in the sequel. I just found it. It's called Bush Royal Rumble or something like that. It's fantastic. Bush Royal Rampage. And the Queen's got like a gem necklace that's like a little, and it turns into like a purple machine gun. Like, she's always wearing it. And like, the day she died, that was canon too. Do you have that necklace? I swear I've seen it.
Oh, I believe that 100%. Those are the real crown jewels.
Oh, to Kate Middleton. Okay. I remember this. Dude, the art is just so... Yeah, core memory unlocked.
There you go.
But yeah, aside from, I think, Interactive Buddy, there was a massive series of games that were, you know, again, the kind of like twin stick shooter almost vibes, but they had the blank face guys.
I know there was
12 of them.
There's Thing. There's also Madness.
Okay, Thing is very familiar to me.
Yeah. So there's the blank face thing is very common, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the thing that I would always go to would be like the upgrade games. You know, and in my adult life now, you know, I will always have some kind of idle game on my phone running. Something like Toss the Turtle. We were talking about the we were talking about the Dolphin Olympics.
Yeah.
That idea of like just continue to like slowly build up until you're, you know, getting launched into space and big numbers go burr.
Yeah,
that was always super
quick way into any game is hot numbers go brr.
Yeah. You know, hey, we need to do an idle games podcast at some point too. I feel like that.
Oh yeah, Rob would love that one.
Oh, yeah. There's that new idle game that's coming out. I've forgotten the
name. Didn't
mean
right now, but
the way that this idle game is designed is that it just sits on like the lower quarter of your monitor. So you're like doing everything else, but then at the bottom of your monitor, you've got like farming happening and stuff.
What?
And whenever they do like a full launch of it, they're also gonna have a have like Twitch hook-ins to it as well.
It just sounds like we're rapidly sliding backwards towards that idea of that. You remember like Windows 98, Windows like 2000 era, and you'd get those little things that would pop in the corner. You know, like Bonsai Buddy or all that.
Like, yeah, like Bonsai Buddy. Like,
the ones that we had in viruses, but ignore that one. But I was saying, like, if we get to the point where we've got idle games that are playing themselves in the corner of the screen, I'm just like, this seems familiar, guys. I feel like we might be sliding back into the early 2000s again.
We've got
It's all, time's a flat circle.
Bro, ADHD is wild what it does, man.
Yeah. So what were some other key idle games for people? Flash games,
I thought we hadn't made this the idle episode.
I was like anti-idle. I was the guy that was like, no, idle games aren't real games, blah blah blah. And I mean obviously now you see how big it is, and of course Flash I think was the first like introduction to those idle games.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like Cookie Clicker, Clicker and similar, right? Were sort of Flash games initially. So,
like, I played a lot of totally off the idle train. I played a lot of Stick Arena. Did y'all play that? Fucking Stick Arena. That was wild. That was so weird because it was kind of like almost twin stick shooter because it was WASD and mouse, from what I remember. Which was like, I don't remember playing another Flash game that was like that. But yeah, you're just a bunch of stick figures killing each other, like swords and guns and whatever.
It's badass, man.
Yeah.
Truly, it was of the time of like animator versus animation and stuff. And just, you know, you didn't need.
And all the Zhao Zhaos as well.
Yeah, you didn't need crazy graphics or whatever. It's just, you know, is the gameplay fun? Hell yeah. Like, do you want to play someone's mashed together Super Smash Bros. Game with 2D pixel art, go for it. Like,
hell yeah.
Let's get lost in it.
Mm-hmm. And did y'all ever play, I want to say the names of the game were like The Impossible Quiz, and there were like multiple sequels. And they're just like...
A school memory for sure is everyone's like, how do you get past this bit? So you got to right click and go around the outside of it.
Yeah.
So everyone's like, how do you do this?
Yeah, it was just so like, built to be frustrating.
Yeah, definitely. Learning in Flash that you could hit what tab,
and it would like highlight all of the different selectable keys,
things, or that you could right click to get through like the mouse mazes was just
because it wouldn't register while the like right click box is up that way you move the mouse.
Yeah,
little hacks like that are sort of great to be honest.
So point and click games were so trivial when you knew that tab hack.
Yeah, it kind of it did ruin sort of a lot of like people who hid stuff, you know. It's like in the background, it's like it's a secret Easter egg, it's not a secret anymore, Frank. It's gone.
Yeah. You mean with the flashing light around it that says
it's a secret right here? Yeah.
I was addicted to Meat Boy, not Super Meat Boy.
The original Meat Boy.
The OG. You were the original Meat Boy.
Yeah, I was the original Meat Boy. I don't know how. Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Starting you a bit, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, how do I move on from that? Now I'm thinking about Dr. Fetus and all that shit.
Excuse me.
Bandit. By the way, I'll let fans of Super Meat Boy, you should know that Bandage Girl was actually Band-Aid Girl until copyright got her. Because Band-Aids are copywritten. But in the first game, she was Band-Aid Girl, and that's how she is in my heart.
Yeah. Like, that's the classic Kleenex facial tissue debacle.
Yeah. I don't know what they call it, but it's synonymous with the image of a Band-Aid. I don't think that's relevant. anyways. Actually, Edmund McMillan, the developer for Meat Boy, did a lot of other Flash games too, but Meat Boy was the one that I was absolutely addicted to.
He did a re-release of his old Flash games as well, didn't he, on Steam?
He did, which I would suggest because they're fun and you can actually play them still without having to, fuck around with non-existent Flash. What's cool is actually they also did a level pack for Meat Boy when it came out. So there were actually two Meat Boy games, Meat Boy and the Meat Boy level pack. And the level pack was a bunch of community created maps that, just kind of had its own release. But that was just such a solid platformer. And then it went on to Xbox Live Arcade with Super Meat Boy, and the rest is history. I think it's still one of the best platformers you can play out there. It's a lot of fun.
I mean, there were quite a few Flash games, right, that made the jump to Xbox Live Arcade. I feel like that was kind of a big kind of space to curate a bunch of Flash games into what they are now, right? Or what kind of indie games are now.
The Behemoth, Cow Scratch is one of the Flash game, but they went on to do that for Xbox Live Arcade. And obviously you can see that Flash DNA in Castle Crashers. And I think, Alien Hominid got those releases on consoles too. So, and the same can be said for a lot of other Flash games that I just can't think of at the top of my head. But if I saw it, I'd be like, yep, that's over there. It's cool how it's all evolved.
I mean, I think some of that DNA ended up in kind of mobile games, right? Like some might argue the like worser parts, but like a lot of that kind of quick pick up and play random sort of shash is now the kind of stuff that you can still find, but just in weirder places. It's like combo between itch.io or like Android, the Android Play Store or the iOS to a lesser extent, but it's more tightly controlled there than it used to be.
You know, it's you saying that like just kind of wrinkled my brain a little because like this makes sense. This is like a no duh thing what I'm about to say, but like a lot of these Flash games were things we played before we had a supercomputer in our pockets that could give us instant dopamine immediately. And it's kind of weird to feel like they're from two different eras. Like Flash existed while smartphones were becoming, you know, a thing, but it's like most of my memories with Flash games were
way earlier.
Yeah, well, it's not like because I didn't have a phone, that doesn't make sense, but it's interesting to be like, I wonder if I had a smartphone back then, would I have played as many Flash games as I did? Probably not.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that you know, if people had smartphones, then that's just where these games would have been. You know, it's I think you would have still ended up playing Interactive Buddy. You still would have ended up playing The Impossible Game. It's just that would have been a mobile game. It would have never, you know, been something that kids whispered about, between classes.
Yeah, that's true.
It's been ubiquitous.
It took time for phones to catch up to Flash games, which I know is crazy to say, but like, you youngsters don't know that we had.
Also, iPhone very famously did not support Flash, while the rest of the world was like, Flash is where it's at. Like, hey, if you want to watch a video online, that was all through a Flash. That was all through Flash as well. Mm-hmm. But iPhone didn't support it, and you know, they pushed everyone to their own development platform, their own language, and said, nope, you guys have to use this if you want to make things interactive, if you want to do stuff. And that kind of killed it.
Well, are you saying Apple forced people to use its own proprietary software and hardware? That's ridiculous.
That sounds crazy.
That might have been crazy talk. I guess after iTunes, that would have been the second time that they did it. And now so many years later, it's not like they've done it again and again and again and again and again and again.
No, of course not. There's a lawsuit currently in the works about a Monopoly.
I don't know. That'd be pretty epic if it was.
Yeah, it would be pretty epic. There'll
be another one aimed at us soon.
But I do remember, though, back in the early days of the iPhone and, like, the iPod Touch, y'all remember those fucking, like, it felt like pale imitations of Flash games where it's like, you drink a beer.
Oh, like, man, that was a fun one. With a lighter?
Like, virtual lighter, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and it's like, man, that's a fucking, that's a time of
that's the era when anything on an iPhone, anything an iPhone could do was impressive back then.
Just guys, 2 months, we were like, why are you bringing up the lamest examples?
Wait.
Lightsabers. Lightsabers.
I'll do you one better, all right? I played Russian roulette in the lunchroom with my buddy in high school. I won every time. I was pretty fucking good at Russian roulette, but
man, you do really live in America, huh?
I live in the South. What do you expect? But yeah, you know, Doodle Jump was actually pretty good. You guys remember that?
Oh, Doodle Jump,
Doodle Jump,
Doodle that Jump was kind of like
it, made its way it to had like that DS as well, right? 3DS and stuff. It had got ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it was races. A big. It was like the hot mobile game, and I feel like it kind of has its DNA from Flash games. It's just simple, you know, simple art, not a lot of crazy gimmicks to it, but it works. That was cool. I liked that game.
Yeah. What Line Rider was Flash too, right?
You know, I was about to bring up Line Rider as well because it's sort of a similar vibe, right?
Yeah, well, because my brain, when you said Doodle Jump, I was like, ah, yes, my brain pictured Line Rider, not Doodle Jump.
No, Line Rider was cool too.
Oh yeah,
Line Rider was kind of crazy because it had like a huge community based around making music videos out of them, where it'd be like they'd take some classical music and they'd have their like guy like in sync doing all these mad flips and stuff. I just remember wasting so many hours, not even on the game, just watching other people's weird like tracks.
Yeah,
you just like go to sites and like watch replays or like the auto when it had like built in level editor and stuff. Or like a built-in community maps, you'd go and like look at what are the top-rated ones and play those. I bet that there's a whole bunch of like very early like first adopter YouTubers and Justin TV players that you know that their whole shtick was just playing difficult to beat Line Rider maps.
Mm, probably.
Yeah, to hopefully. Like Linkin Park and Green Day, right?
Yep.
Welcome to my hardcore as fuck Line Rider AMV.
Yeah, if you hear Linkin Park playing, it's either a Naruto AMV or a Line Rider AMV.
I keep looking at Will's Bring Me the Horizon sweater. I keep thinking of the Giga Chad song. I'm sorry.
It's fine. It's distracting, but it's fine.
I got a question for you guys. Have you ever heard of a game called Platform Racing 2?
Platform
Racing
2. It was 2. On Congregate, which was a very big...
Oh my god, I miss Congregate.
Congregate was awesome.
They're still around, aren't they?
They are still around.
What's the point? I had so many like Congregate Gamer Score or whatever it was called, all them trophies and that. I had such a high one of them and it's all gone now, I'm pretty sure.
Honestly, it's not gone. I'm on my profile right now. Congregate is... a pale imitation of what it was, in my opinion. But that was, in my... Like, it was the Flash game you decided to be on, because it had a whole community. You had a chat box on one side, and then you had, like, pretty much every Flash game that you wanted. And so you had the community aspect, and then you have, you know, obviously lots of games. And then they implemented, like, achievements called badges. And
it was crazy because every game came with the chat window to the side as well, right? So it was like every game had like kind of an almost community that was separate. So you'd be like, if you sat there playing like, I don't know, Overrun 2 or whatever, and then you'd like, you'd have just like people going like, how do you do this? But you're like, oh, here's how you do that or whatever, or, you know. Mm-hmm. That was one of the things that made Congregate such a great like place playing Flash games, is that you knew like a bunch of other people were playing and they would be able to help you out when you got stuck on something.
Yeah. I think Congregate was innovative for its time. Like I said, badges, so like achievements for Flash games, that's already a lot of people are probably gonna be happy about that because we love getting our achievements.
And then
on Okay. Well, on top of that, like, there's also, so Will, since you're familiar with Kongregate, do you remember this card game that they made called Kongai?
Vaguely, it's been quite a while now.
So this game was freaking awesome. You could earn collectible trading cards online and use it for their own like game called Kongai. And it was a card game developed by like some Street Fighter developer that worked with Kongregate. And it was just like so addicting and like so many different ways to like build your deck. You have like three characters and then you give them an item and then they have different abilities and it's kind of like rock, paper, scissors. I don't know, man. We could probably do a whole podcast on Kongai, but
just Kongai. I know Kongai, just the game.
It's just the game.
You're really good. But it was freaking awesome. And honestly, just the fact that you can earn collectible trading cards while playing other games for another cool game. I love that idea. But
you know, remind me, isn't, because like Kongregate exists now, and then if I remember right, Austin, you did an interview with a company called like Poki, P-O-K-I, that was trying to like catalog Poki. All the Flash game, like before Flash died, they like built a thing where you can play Flash games still, but like with like you have to
it's like it through, an, yeah. through an emulator, I believe, right? It's like something a JavaScript like wrapper that encloses an emulator playing Flash so that the browser still allows it to function.
Yeah, they are one of many now. I believe that there's a larger initiative that basically asks for people's cache data, like internet cache data.
C-A-C-H-E.
I saying it right?
No, you are. I'm just like,
my out. Not actual cash.
Yeah, because at first I was like, Cash App? You're asking for people's cash app?
And in the hopes that it will have remnants of like Flash game in it so that they can preserve it. And there's a bunch of other ones. But yeah, Poki's one of them. It seems like they just have a lot of the popular ones. Like, do you guys remember Fancy Pants?
Those ones also went to console.
Yeah, they did. I think there was a Steam release too.
I think as well. I'm sure it's like on phone too now. Though. I'm sure it pops up on my phone like on Play Pass the other day. So
they have the OG Bloons Tower Defense. You know, before it was the monolith that it is now. HD. You had Bloons 1, Bloons 2, Bloons 3.
Dude, Bloons 4. They're up to 6, right? They've been at 6 for a while, but
yeah.
Yeah. A lot too many.
By the way, that game was free. No microtransactions.
Yeah, now it's like really microtransaction here.
Yeah. I actually had a teacher that would play Bloons Tower Defense all day. While in history class, he would just like put notes on the overhead, and then you could just see him on his computer playing Bloons. And I just think it's funny that
that's pretty good.
He was a coach. And coaches, I guess, have to have like a teaching job too. But so, you know, he did the bare minimum. And honestly, I respect that.
Hell yeah. I want to live up to that. I mean, I think too with Bloons, before it was even Tower Defense, wasn't it an original Flash game just called Bloons? That was basically flying Angry Birds. It was basically Angry Birds.
Well,
right.
You played as a monkey that would just throw darts. Like, he was in the corner, and you just, like, have to throw darts a certain way. Yeah, so,
remember there was, like, an arc. Like, you had to kind of calculate the arc to, like, pop all the balloons, right, and stuff like that. So it was, like, that was the OG thing.
That was kind of a common genre, sort of, in Flash games, way before Angry Birds, right? It was all those, like, clubbing the baby seal sort of ones, like, the catapult game, you know, things where it's, like, it's about, like, powering. Oh, crap.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, dear.
Uh-oh.
Sorry.
Ignore that. No, you're good. I can't. Okay, can I like circle back, like draw the full circle on this pod and marry both in idle games and Flash games?
Sure.
Go for it.
Okay. Are y'all familiar with Clicker Heroes?
Of course.
Yeah.
And then what about Clicker Heroes 2?
Yeah.
I remember. I could assume. Wasn't there some weirdness about the release of Clicker Heroes 2?
Mm-hmm. So it's not on Steam anymore. They released Clicker Heroes 2 at Steam Early Access for $30, which is like, oh, already a lot for an early access, and then a lot for an early access idle game, right? And today it's not on Steam. I think I saw the other day, this would be like last week by the time you're hearing this, that I think it was Humble Games was like selling codes for Click Your Heroes 2 for like $800, because now they're like rare, because you can't buy it on Steam anymore.
All right.
But part of the reason it's not on Steam is because they've stopped working on Click Your Heroes 2 for many reasons, but one of the reasons being it was all started on Flash. So they were like kind of trying to retrofit a lot of shit after Flash died to make it work, but you know, that's not really feasible. So they had to stop working on it.
So do you know then if they're just, I mean, I don't know how much deeper you dove into the rabbit hole after that. Do you know whether they're like pivoting to swap the game engine or whether it's just gone?
I think they're just done with it and they're going back to Clicker Heroes 1. I know this because that has been my mobile idle game for a bit, for the past couple months.
Wait, so Clicker
Heroes 1.
I remember Clicker Heroes 1. And wasn't that a Flash game, right? It was on Flash.
It was on Flash. You can play it now on their site. It's just built with something different.
So why would they just not like work with the framework they have for that for Clicker Heroes 2 if Clicker Heroes 1 still works?
It must have been such a radical departure from the gameplay of the original that it just wasn't going to work.
There was a lot of different stuff with Clicker Heroes 2 because they were trying to make it so your character moves forward when they defeat an, so it's like kind of an isometric design where you're so clicking to kill. And there was like some weird like automation shit, like almost factorial level shit they were trying to do with it. So I think there's a lot more going on that probably has complicated what Clicker Heroes 2 was trying to be.
Yeah, everything's got to have more subsystems built in and more craziness.
More complexity.
Yeah.
Never ending, forever and ever.
Got to make the new hit indie idol RPG.
Yeah.
So I think we might have put our fingers on why we wanted to talk about Flash games this week.
But, I mean,
certain other things going might not be so, like, entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, it's those games still exist, which I think is cool. Like, you know, there are a lot of games that I would pull up that I would look at and go, like, this is a Flash game. Like, even all of the Match 3s, that would have just been on Newgrounds for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy that, you know, the increased availability and just the proliferation of video games through every facet of people's lives and devices just, you know, kind of makes the need for where they used to be so obsolete. That, like, I think Austin, you said, like, you know, when we were kids and we couldn't buy a new video game, and now it's like, well, Steam gives out free games constantly. We had a year of free Epic Games, Fortnite, you know, the most insane video game of all time, completely free, MMOs, Game Pass, you know, PlayStation Plus, you know, it's not free, but it's like a more, you know, if you're really using it, it could be seen as a more affordable way to get access to a lot more games than, like, you know, doing chores around the house for a few months to maybe go and buy one more video game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a completely different vibe from sort of even a couple of gens ago in the industry when, like, that, like, the options, like, when arcade, you know, as we talked about earlier with Xbox Live Arcade, like, that was a new and fresh and interesting option. And yeah, let me tell you, I've been looking at the Xbox 360 marketplace a lot lately because I've been having to be playing one, and it is really weird, the stuff that you don't remember being kind of as old and janky and strange as, like, it was.
Yeah.
I'll maybe unlock another core memory for you guys. So we have Flash games. Do you guys remember Flash animations?
I mean,
yeah,
plenty. Of course. I mean, I guess that was its own thing, right? Like, Flash animations mostly lived on, like, Newgrounds, and just watching, like, a bunch of stick people kill each other was pretty dope.
Yeah. I believe the term you are searching for is Zhao Zhao, and I will fight you.
Oh, is that what it's called?
Zhao Zhao was the series. Well, it was the most famous series.
Oh, yeah. Like, Zhao Zhao 7
or whatever,
that.
And it was people, like a bunch of tiny stick figures kicking the crap out of each other. There was also one that I cannot find anymore. I've looked endlessly. It was an animation called Bravado. I have no idea who did it, and it used the Block Party song Helicopter.
Oh, it was just a stick figure bloke
running through. It was but the shots they did in that were genuinely incredible, and I've been struggling to find it ever since then. Yeah. One day.
You know, I think Devolver released like a Stickman fighting game, like kind of like what Robert was talking about earlier, and then like pays homage to the fighting animations. Cool.
Is it that one where it's like it's just like a left or right click? That's the entire gameplay, right?
That is also kind of.
I forgot that one was Devolver.
So they made a game called Stick It to the Stickman, or they published the game, and I think it just kind of like, I don't know, it just gives me vibes of like those old school games that we used to play, but obviously a lot different. But Devolver has like, I know what series you're talking about, and it's like one of their first published titles. I just can't remember the name. Mm-hmm. It's like Henry, maybe something. I'll find it.
I don't know.
You say about Flash Animations versus Flash Games, but there was actually quite a lot of games that could be kind of considered a crossover between the two. There was a whole like just subgenre for that. There's a guy game. This one might not be a thing for any of you, but unless you were looking at the wrong kind of content when you were younger, there's a series, just a couple of games called Ray, I think they were called, and it was done using South Park style characters, like you know those like free make your own South Park character thing. And someone had taken them and made like a choose your own adventure story about some like mercenary guy called Ray who pees on people he shot and stuff. It was really you know that edgy shit. Like,
I think I do remember that.
Yeah, you do.
This sounds like Flash Game Postal.
I mean, it's hey, it kind of is, but like
you just described half of Flash Games, Scrappy. I mean,
yeah, exactly. Hang on a minute. There was another one that was called like fuck. What was the other one? There was another one where it was like a stick figure like, again.
A divine intervention game and
yeah. Oh wait, is that the one where you're like destroying like hundreds of stick people and stuff? Smiting.
No, this is like a side scroller. You're a priest with two handguns. Tell that the person who created it had like just finished watching Helsing.
So, by the way, I found what I was looking for. It's not published by Devolver, but it's called the Henry Stickman Collection. And actually, the Among Us developers published it. That might be what we're talking about.
Innersloth?
Yeah. That just shows you like how many people are so connected to Flash games. And honestly, Among Us kind of feels like something you would find like one of those multiplayer Flash games. Like it is not the most complex game ever.
That was the first time, the first thing I ever saw it. I assume that to be honest with you, it looks just like right up that street.
Yeah, it looks super like a Flash game.
I mean, it's because of Flash animation that we got Dream Daddy, the Daddy Dating Simulator.
That's a weird lineage to follow, but technically true.
Yeah. all because Mega Man X teaches you how to play the game as you play it. And now we've got buff bear daddies going on daddy dates. Mm-hmm. It's like that meme with the tiny domino building.
Each reaction.
Yeah. Oh, man, I think there was a point at my school. I don't know if this is something that happened for y'all, but when I was in high school, they started giving us laptops throughout, like for everyone to like have. And this was like one of my last years there, and some nerd put a Mario Kart 64 on the share drive. So and you didn't need like Dolphin or like whatever an N64 emulator was. It was just an EXE. That's it. And you could just boot it up and play Mario Kart.
That's awesome.
So that like there was a point where people started graduating from like, hey, you know Miniclip? Hey, you know Armor Games? It's like, hey, you know this folder in the share
drive? Ill-gotten ROMs.
That person was a hero. Holy shit. Yeah.
High school hero, the person who dropped Mario 64 into the hard drive.
It's probably, it was under a folder like 401k taxes, like, you know, high school stuff, you know.
Definitely not porn. for my school, we did also definitely have the emulator phase. You know, people going to the computer lab at like lunch and playing Smash Bros against each other. But I think the biggest one that it only took a week or so before we were all found out and the EXE was like banned from the system. But the Halo Combat Evolved demo.
Oh, excuse me.
Nice.
The Halo Combat Evolved PC demo.
What?
You could just run the executable. You didn't need to install it. It wouldn't have any of the server stuff because GameSpy was also just spyware, which is like big meta play. But as long as you knew the local IP of another computer that was hosting the game, you could connect and do multiplayer. And it would give you Blood Gulch, and you could play Slayer on Blood Gulch and Team Slayer on Blood Gulch for absolutely nothing. And that's it just cool. Ended up in like entire computer classes where like the teacher would be teaching and half of the class would be in the middle of playing Halo. And then there was just like waves of AFK as like the teacher would patrol the room and people would be alt-tabbing out of Halo, and like people would just stop moving and you'd be like, oh yeah, the teacher's near them, they're coming near me too, I'll have to tab out soon as well,
get the kill on them quickly before they get back and then tab out online.
Exactly.
Yeah, hit them in the back.
It was a meta game in itself.
Who's Steve, who's currently, he's like, Steve looks like he's having a bit of trouble. Screw you, Steve.
It's like that that one Smash Bros map, like the WarioWare one, where it's like, don't, what, mom's
looking. Oh yeah,
like, don't, you have to hide.
Man, I'm jealous because my school didn't give us laptops. Like, we had temporary laptops maybe for like a single class, like to use for a little bit. But senior year of high school, I started bringing my own laptop. And like, I don't know about you guys, but in the senior year, you just don't give a shit anymore. And so I was playing stuff like on my laptop in oceanography class, and everybody was watching, and my teacher just did not give a shit.
Hell yeah.
And it was great.
Mm-hmm. It's a bit of a different experience in the UK's version of like the school things. Like, none of us had laptops. No one had any of their own like electrical equipment they were allowed to bring in. It was just once every like couple of weeks, it'd all be piled into the like giant PC room where someone would very badly try and train you how to like work computers, and completely fail to do so because you already knew better than the teacher themselves. It was always someone who'd be busting. I mean, there was one week where someone literally made a notepad executable that opened and closed the disk drive repeatedly and then activated that on every PC. And the teacher just walked in, was like, walked out again. We didn't have the best of luck when it came to like IT teachers, to be honest with you. So we got away with a lot of stuff, but we didn't have a lot of good equipment to like get away with it with. So
I remember building batch files out of notepads. Oh, and having like the error message prompts that you could have like fake appear and stuff.
That's the real Flash game.
So much.
The friends we made along the way.
Yeah, the things that we would do while we were bored in a computer class were truly, truly astounding.
It was back when computers were still sort of magical and like, you know, wonderful, and these exciting things that we didn't know all the possibilities of. Yeah. We weren't surrounded by them three times at once, every day, forever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know,
that old lie that your math teacher would tell you of, well, you're not just going to be walking around with a calculator in your pocket. It's like,
yeah, joke's on you.
Bitch, I can walk through my house and ask a question into the ether, and I will get that response.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you need a priest, dude.
Yeah, like, he's not even talking about Alexa. He's talking about God.
No, I think he's got like a ghost in his house.
So either you either need an exorcist or a psychiatrist, one of the two.
just some people living in his closets just giving answers.
Yeah,
he brought something from Australia and it's all living in his.
It's just like a Wendigo,
yeah,
no, a bunny,
drop bear.
Yes, like drop bear in the cupboard.
Yeah,
you know. probably no one gives a shit, but I'm going to say it anyways. I got my love for boomer shooters from Flash games, because on those certain sites that were unblocked, they had Flash versions of like Hexen and Doom and stuff. And like,
oh, really?
Wow, this is pretty dope. So I started playing them. And then obviously, as I was able to afford games on Steam, I started buying them from there. But I mean, like, when you have Flash games on, and I guess you're on random sites that have a limited library, Hexen and Doom and shit are pretty awesome on their own, but like compared to other Flash games, I mean, obviously they were a lot of fun. So I think that's just, yeah, it's really cool how much I gained from like Flash and, you know, so yeah.
That wasn't the only game as well, right? There was like, I think it was Flash Sonic, right? Someone like remade one of the Sonic Advance games or something fully in Flash, and they did it with loads of different stuff. I mean, plus for a while, Flash became the container for emulating on. There was a site, I'm pretty sure it's dead now, but when I was in college by this point, you could go on like virtualnes.com and it would emulate NES games, and you could just do it right in your browser and just sit there and play like Mario 3 or whatever, and it would just be great.
What's so crazy about how advanced our web browsers are and stuff, you can do that with PS1 games now. Mm-hmm. Like, you can just go to a website and hit play Crash Bandicoot, and the entire, like, you don't at least you don't like visibly download anything, you don't have to like set up anything complicated. It just, Crash Bandicoot for PlayStation just starts running in your browser.
That's pretty cool,
man. I need to do that with Symphony of the Night. I still haven't played that. They haven't ported it to PC either. But maybe Flash has a way of making it possible.
There's an Xbox 360 version.
Yeah, well, there's also that remaster, right? With like Rondo of Blood.
Mark.
Look, I know this is like totally unrelated at this point, but they haven't ported it to Steam, and that's just a damn shame. Like, what are you doing, Konami?
Yeah, but that's a bigger question. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Gambling pachinko.
It will never not be pachinko. You have to just face this fact at this point. It's never not going to be pachinko.
Yeah, Fun fact.
Yeah.
And we are getting so deep into the weeds now. The United States' only pachinko parlor is located in my town.
That is a very
in
random fact.
The middle of nowhere, south. I mean,
yeah, that's surprising.
That's what it says on Atlas Obscura, if you've ever been there. It just tells you where weird shit is around. Yeah, we got a pachinko parlor.
Huh, that's kind of wild.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I do think that Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater Delta, whatever they're calling it, I think that's a secret psyop for a pachinko. I think it's just
going to be more pachinko.
I think so. Yeah.
They need new cutscenes for their game machines back in Japan.
They've got a game machine based on the third game, and they've just added
machines to it. Well, if we've already made all of these cutscenes, we might as well release the game again.
Yeah, I guess. if we must.
I mean, honestly, I'll be happy for them to do it purely because they released Metal Gear and then not Metal Gear 2, but Metal Gear Solid and Metal Gear Solid 2, but not 3. All on PC, like, a couple of years ago, I think? Worked through GOG and stuff.
Yeah, but then Metal Gear Solid 4 will forever die on the PS3, because, like,
they're releasing the games on the Switch, right? Kind of? They're doing the Metal Gear Collection Volume 1.
3.
Volume 1 implies that they will do the rest, and I can finally stop keeping my PS3 for the two games I own for it. Hey, I
what are those two games at this point?
Okay, so the two games that I keep with my PS3 are Metal Gear Solid 4, because it's literally the only way to play it. Even though you can't listen to the podcast in it anymore, because the DLC shop's gone. Annoying. And the other one's completely accidental is Devil May Cry 4, because I lost the slipcover to the steelbook, and now I cannot sell it to anyone, because no one wants it.
That's a banger game, though.
It is a sick game. I do enjoy that, but yeah, those are the two PS3 games that I still actually own.
And you know that Konami was a Flash game developer. No, I'm just kidding. They weren't.
It all falls in, man.
I mean, if you think about it, the old Metal Gear feels like a Flash game.
I mean, hey, it was a PC game. That's fine. That's close enough, right?
If you think about it, Flash games are a lot like pachinko, full of metal balls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think, do we have any final thoughts about Flash gaming and Flash games?
I have one thought that I want to bring up just because I want to blow the mind of like four people who are listening to this. There was a game, right, during the height of Flash when schools started noticing that Flash was popular. They made a bunch of, the BBC made a bunch of like edutainment Flash games for GCSE revision. They had a website called the BBC Bite-Sized website. And there was a game on there, right, that was called State of Debate. And it was a full-blown FMV video game made in Flash with absolutely sterling video quality, as you can probably imagine, where you had to like, it was like dystopian future. And it was supposed to be teaching teenagers how to interact with like authority figures to get what they wanted and not be like little yobbo assholes. It was great. And I just wanted someone other than me to remember that today. So you're welcome, four random British people of my age who are going, oh yeah.
State of Debate.
Flash. Yeah, wow. State of Debate.
You know, I'll end on one small anecdote, and I joked about Konami being a Flash game developer, and they're still not, but it was not uncommon to find like AAA game developers making Flash games as like promotion. And the one that comes to mind is, if you guys remember Mercenaries 1 and 2, they made a Flash game called Mercenaries 2 World Nearly in Flames. And that's just not something you're going to find anymore, but I think it's awesome that they would, you know, do that to promote games.
Yeah.
So
that kind of makes me think of for Bloodstained Ritual of the Night, how they released the other like small NES style like classic Castlevania game, because they were just like, well, we've got the resources, so like let's do this little thing. I would love to see, you know, micro games. Actually, ironically, not too dissimilar from like Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes.
Yeah.
You know, that like micro game, like we've got a little bit of extra development, like let's put out something small.
I mean, Iuden Chronicles did that, and that's coming out later.
Yeah, that was really fun. April.
Yeah.
It wasn't, but
you know, it was still cool.
I really enjoyed it, but then the like looking at the trailer for 100 Heroes, it's like, wow, a massive JRPG where you can recruit 100 characters. Meh. Like, that sounds like a lot. I'm gonna
have to level up a load of people to level 99, and I already don't like the sound of this.
Yeah. Does it have EXP all?
Can I set it to 5x speed like the Final Fantasy PC re-releases?
Oh, that's so good.
Godsend. Such a godsend. Yeah.
I don't know why, but you mentioning Mercenaries and like tie-ins made me like reminded me of like Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon, that their websites had a bunch of Flash games.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah,
that was the other kind of Flash game I was going to bring up. Was there was this one of those ones where it's like all of the Cartoon Network characters on like beach
on a resort island. Yeah,
and you had to run around like doing stuff. And that was the other thing I wrote down to bring up, was that and the weird BBC game. Yeah. Oh, can you still get that? Is that on like on one of the soft the S WF sort of like sites? I hope so.
I don't know
what it's called.
You know, funny enough, they made a lot of they've made a lot of Avatar The Last Airbender games, and I think the best one is still Flash game.
Amazing.
Yeah, so
the Teen Titans fighting game as well, that one also kicked ass.
Oh, those Dragon Ball Z one from Toonami, where like you had to pick an attack. It was like on a grid, and you had to pick an attack and a direction, and then like you'd both move and do an attack at the same time. And you could do like beam battles and stuff. I spent hours on that one. That's a cool memory unlock. There we go.
I think we should do a tally of how many times we said core memory in this episode. It's definitely more than five.
We'll let one of the listeners do it. You know, someone's going to want to comment that. They'll be like, you said it 7 times in this episode.
Take a shot every time I say core memory. Core memory.
Okay. But I think it's a good place for us to wrap this week's episode. Thank you for joining us on this weird little deep dive on Flash games, and also Konami at some point
tangentially.
Yeah, just a tangent into Konami. But we hope you enjoyed. You know, we're just here to have fun, talk about games, and shoot the shit about it. If you want more from us, you can check out our website, techraptor.net. We're always posting news, features, and reviews. One of our writers, Sammy Gutterpunk, they just wrote this pretty wonderful piece about Balatro. So if you've been playing a lot of Balatro, this one is really interesting, kind of goes deeper into like how roguelikes and gambling addiction are kind of the same thing, if you really think about it, which is kind of neat.
Just like pachinko.
Yeah, exactly. Poker is just pachinko. But yeah, so if that interests you, check out our website, techraptor.net. If you want more of this show, we will be back in your feed next Wednesday, and we will see you then. Bye-bye.